On Friday, Donald Trump sat down with Vladimir Putin at the Alaska summit, and the world held its breath. And Europe and Ukraine, in particular, were looking for an end to the conflict that has taken place in that nation, looking to a righteous way forward. And hoping for an end to the brutality of 3.5 years of war and peace. Before that conference took place, were you hopeful? It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to unmute an answer. Were you hopeful that a resolution would come? After you heard the outcomes, have you been encouraged by the words that they've said? Did you ever think that these discussions were going to bring an end to that war, that conflict, which would be long-lasting peace and a righteous end? It's not the only thing that has been in the news this week. Also in the news has been finances. Economic growth is down, GDP compared to last quarter. It's not as low as it should have, it might have been from what people were suggesting, but it's down. And people are commenting and saying, surely the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves, has no choice but to hike taxes in order to try and fill the black hole, which is the economy in this country. How does that make you feel? Rhetorical question again. Are you confident there's going to be plenty of money around come the autumn budget? Are you confident that NHS waiting lists are going to get much shorter because of what's been thrown at them? And then we've been talking this week about artificial intelligence again. AI, and some say AI is the answer to our questions. It's the big answer. It's going to bring more efficiency in the way that we operate in education, in the health service, in security, national security, cyber gangs, things that make our country unsafe. AI is the answer. Do you feel safer because of the things that you've heard? I suspect the answer to all those things is no. I suspect that, like me, you see huge problems and not many answers. There is so much uncertainty, so many challenges, so many depressing stories, and so few reasons for optimism in them. No wonder that it is now being said uniquely of this generation that perhaps this is the anxiety generation. The anxiety generation. But I want to encourage you. I too see all of those things around us which are negative, which are not good. I see little hope of optimism in those world events. I have, if I'm honest, very little faith in any world leaders or in human solutions or indeed in computer solutions to resolve those problems. I don't see that. But I want to encourage you. And I'm going to start with a verse which I believe God gave us at the start of this year when we didn't even know what was coming, but was particularly poignant. Do you remember the verse that was given to us at the start of this year? You'll find it on our website. Let me share it with you on screen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. On the world stage and in our society, all those concerns are a reality, but something else is going on. I've just realized that, in fact, I too am at the moment unseen. So let me change the way you are viewing that. Let me share that with you again, and hopefully you can see both of us at the same time. There we go. Hopefully you can now see the verses here on the screen, but you can still see me. All of those things are going on around the world, but something else is going on because there is another story. God, who is unseen, is at work. And the Bible tells us this, and it gives us a very specific phrase to describe that story, to describe what God is doing to put things right. And the phrase is that God is reconciling all things to himself. He's doing something which is so much bigger than just resolving what we see as an enormous climate problem, or the problem of plastics in our environment and the oceans, also dealt with this week, or technology. He's not just resolving national border disputes or budget crises, or seeking to bring a fair and just resolution. He's going far beyond that because he's reconciling all things to himself. That's Colossians 1:20 in the verses that Angie has just read to him. He is reconciling to himself all things and with a specific purpose, so that he will make things right. He will bring order, harmony. He will bring peace, which is the other word I've highlighted on the screen. Peace with God. And his means of doing that was and is and always will be Jesus, which is why the cross is the central part of that verse. And through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God's mission is and always has been to bring peace and reconciliation. It is always been God's purpose to put things right in so much of a bigger, more permanent way than any political leader would ever be able to do, and to bring that reconciliation to a bruised and fractured world. I want to tell you that God's peace is so very different and more complex than anything that the peace that world leaders speak about. It is not just the absence of conflict. You see, we can have an agreement in words by Presidents Putin and Trump, but other people won't necessarily know that peace going on from here. We can have an agreement, but we've had agreements for decade after decade in Israel and Gaza, and we know the mess they are still in. You could take away President Putin and President Trump from all of these discussions, and you still won't change the fact that the world is at war with itself, and there is conflict, and there is hurt, and other people will step into the situation. God's notion of peace is so much bigger than what was discussed in Alaska. The Hebrew word for peace, the Hebrew word shalom, of course means peace. But as is so often the case with Hebrew, It is a language which is unique, which is extraordinary, which has a depth to it that no other language does. Shalom means not just peace, it means completeness, wholeness. It means safety, security. It means health. It means prosperity, well-being. It means harmony. It's the restoration of all things. And that is what God is about. Through Jesus, reconciling to himself all things. That's the unseen story that he invites us to cast our eyes onto. It is actually getting back to what existed in the Garden of Eden, when God's pinnacle of creation, human beings, understood a relationship with God that was in harmony. They understood their identity, and their identity was in God, not in the world that they were creating. So they knew that they were accepted, that they had significance, that God nurtured them, knew them intimately. They knew that they had security and safety, that God was the one who provided. They had no needs. God dealt with all of it. And they had purpose. God gave them purposes. You might remember the talks that we did on that around this time last year through September. As Adam and Eve walked through the with God, walked with God in the cool of the garden, our relationship with God was as it was intended to be. That was the peace. That is shalom. That is not just the absence of conflict, but all things in harmony, working as they're intended to be. And what God is reconciling to himself, that this verse in Colossians 1 speaks of, is he is reconciling, he's bringing back that relationship that was being broken when sin first entered the world in the Garden of Eden, in creation. That very moment when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, when the fruit was taken, when sin entered the world and human nature from then on cast a shadow over the whole of humanity. From that moment, I'm going to put the verse on the screen in Genesis chapter 3. From that moment, God confirmed that he would reconcile those things that had gone wrong and put them right. And so, speaking to Satan, to the serpent who'd done the tempting, he said this, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. What's that a picture of? What is he speaking forward to? He's giving a picture of the cross of Christ. And on the cross, as Jesus took sin that had come into the world upon himself, as he took that burden that acted as a barrier and got in the way of our relationship with God, as he took that on himself, he crushed the head of Satan. He defeated the enemy, but it came at a cost. That's the striking his heel. Jesus paid an unimaginable price for that. It isn't world leaders who will negotiate a righteous outcome, Not for Ukraine, not for Israel, not for Gaza, not for Sudan, not for elderly people or people with disabilities, not for people in our society who are disadvantaged or people who are trafficked or people who are enslaved. No world leader is going to bring righteousness, but Jesus is. And is in the process because God is reconciling all things to himself. And he's done this by his crucified body on the cross. Let me put that verse back on the screen. He's reconciling all things, whether things on heaven or things in earth, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And that's the gift that is there for all who believe. All in creation. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And one day, and that day is coming, I believe, is fast approaching. And it is through Jesus that he is achieving his plans because God is reconciling all things to himself. Do you understand that principle of reconciliation? Do you know, at the end of the month or some point in the month, if you have a credit card, eventually a statement is going to come through the post or digitally, and you get a statement with all the expenditure, all the things that you have bought, all the costs of life. And at the end of that period of time, we have to reconcile that and we pay the bill and our account is reconciled. That's what Jesus did on the cross. But that action worked forward for all the things that are taking place. So it is a work that God continues. He is reconciling the world. And he's doing it gradually. Orderly, God is making everything right again. And so, yes, things look tough, one crisis after another. We all recognize the challenges you've prayed into them and your struggles to overcome them. I get why this uniquely is referred to as the anxiety generation. What a legacy to have to take forward. We're part of the anxiety generation. But you have two choices. You can look around you at what is seen, what is going on in the world, or you can look at what is unseen. The other story, which is that God is reconciling all things to himself through Jesus. And today, I don't know how many people there are in the world. Is it 8 billion at the moment? 2.4 billion people claim to have the Christian faith as their faith. And here's the lesson for us today. That means 2.4 billion have their place as God's church in this world today to be his mouthpiece. To be people who point to the unseen in this world, the smile, the standing firm, the not quitting and caving under the pressures that are present to everybody in the world. That's where we have our place in this process, as through his church, God continues to reconcile the world. So, from Genesis chapter 3, from when it all went wrong for humanity, right through the Old Testament, with a rebellious nation that failed to understand what God was giving them as he showed them picture after picture of what it was to live a life as God's people. And through all of that, time and time again, illustrating what Jesus would come and do, right up to the Gospels when Jesus came into this world, the holy, spotless Son of God, and then went to the cross and took our sin upon himself. In that process, when Jesus fulfilled the promise of God, God worked and has been working to reconcile this world. So I want to encourage you. Forget the floundering attempts of political leaders and their human efforts and technologies. It is through the cross of Christ that God is reconciling all nations. And some of you said that in your prayers, through him alone, through Christ alone, through his people. And it's an offer made to all people, to all creation. God is in the purpose of reconciling all creation to himself. And as a result, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Generally, it comes to the members of our family. I've got to ask the question, where do we spend our time? Where is our focus? Is it on the things that are seen in this world? When we talk to our families, is it about the things seen in this world, or is it about sharing in good, appropriate ways what is unseen, the background story? Does your confidence in Jesus come shining through so that your family see it? Because you know what? For those who I know who don't know the Lord, I don't want them to spend even one more day at a distance from God, not at peace with Him. Because spiritually speaking, it's like they are on the receiving end of what Gazans are currently receiving and what Ukrainians are currently receiving. I don't want that for my family, for those I love, for those around me. This message of reconciliation is one that God invites us to be pointing to. Every day, are we telling ourselves to look at, not at what is seen, but what is unseen? And that unseen story is the one that we get to share, that God is reconciling the world to himself. Let me invite you, sorry, to soak up these words from the rest of this passage in Colossians 1. Just soak this up and gain perspective. For in him, we're talking about Jesus, the spotless Son of God. For in him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him. And get this, and for him. Oh, world leaders think, oh, the church, religion's got nothing to do with this. Yeah, religion has nothing to do with it. Christ and faith in him has everything to do with it. He's before all things. And not only is he before all things, in him, all things hold together. Which is why on Tuesday we met and we prayed about Ukraine. And we prayed and brought Ukraine and the people of Ukraine and the people who are fighting and losing their lives in all of these countries and all of us who are being impacted by it. We brought that to God on Tuesday. It's what we do because that's part of the reconciliation. Do you remember the censer bowls that came in the reading from Revelation 5, the prayers of the saints? God hears all of them, but you know, you've got to be part of it to be offering this to God. My encouragement to us all is to take the heart from these verses. He's before all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning of John's gospel. Before the gospel starts, it speaks of who this person, Jesus, is. He's not just a figure from history. He is history. He's the future. He's everything. In him, all things hold together. And that includes the things that are seen around us. Let me go on. And he's the head of the body, the church. Yeah, that's us. We are part of his body. What a privilege. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. What does that mean? He rose from the dead. He rose from the grave. He paid the price that defeated death, and we follow in his footsteps. Wow. So that in everything, he might have the supremacy. Not world leaders who have an ego that can barely fit in the countries that they are reigning over or think they're reigning over. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What a blessing. And when all around us there is immense uncertainty and anxiety is simply crushing those that we love, including many in the church. We need to challenge ourselves over that. We are invited to know a different perspective, a different experience. That's the invitation to remember the supremacy, unparalleled supremacy that our worship was all about. Of Christ, the one in whom all things hold together, because God is reconciling all things to himself. And even though right now we look at what is happening with human efforts and it all seems to be charging at full speed straight over the edge of a cliff into a chasm, and chaos and destruction seems to come, whether it is being nationally, with wars and conflicts and finance and climate. And so these enormous things beyond our imagination to find solutions for. But in all of that, God is reconciling the world to himself. And so our invitation is to fix our eyes not on what is seen, on all those things, but what is unseen. And 2.4 billion people and counting in the world who call themselves Christians are invited to know the reality of Jesus, to bring hope to those who don't know him, to remain above the uncertainty. To stand firm, to declare our faith in a God of love who is supreme and who is at work, despite all the pathetic little attempts that world leaders might try on. That's our God. So it's his invitation right now, today, and every day to experience fresh ways in which we can know that shalom, harmony, peace, completeness. That is an irresistible gift to all of God's people. And it breaks my heart that many Christians don't know, get so wrapped up, even sometimes in the religion, that they don't know the experience of the peace of God because they are not telling themselves that Jesus is reconciling all things to our Father. And I believe it is then, as we know that shalom in our lives, as we know that shalom of his kingdom, that we then can help extend it, reveal it to the broken places in this world, to the hurting people and communities. That's the role of the 2.4 billion in this world. To inspire kingdom values. To bring a blessing, to share that message of reconciliation that I might speak about, that is part of what God gave us as the ministry of reconciliation. Do you realize he's given us a ministry of reconciliation? We have our place in that for him. That's 2 Corinthians 5. Maybe we'll talk about that on a later occasion. What is the difference between the Christian faith and all others? It is hope. It is hope. And it's hope in Jesus because of what he has done, the victory he has won. Yes, the enemy rattles his cage at the moment. Yes, there are issues in this world. For a time, we see just a shadow of what is coming. But what is coming is already being won. Satan is a defeated enemy. And we rejoice in who Jesus is. So the message of Isaiah, do you remember? See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I hope the answer for you is yes, I see it. Because 700 or so years after Isaiah wrote those words, in the beginning of our Gospels, Jesus came and died on a cross. And God fulfilled that promise in Christ, in his role to bring reconciliation into the world. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And our role is to share that good news. So I want for my family, for those who don't know the Lord, for all the people around us that are precious and deserve genuine peace, I want the words of Psalm 22. I'll just read this to you. All who seek the Lord will praise him. That's what we've done this morning. It lifted your hearts. Do you know the first time I came back and prayed with the bulk of you on Thursday, I was wondering, my head had been getting around where we are and where things are going. And I sat and I prayed with you guys. And that first half hour was astonishing. Electrifying. That's what we do. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. Their hearts will rejoice with everlasting joy. I saw that on Thursday and this morning. The whole earth will acknowledge the Lord and return to him. It's coming. All the families of the nations will bow down before him, for royal power belongs to the Lord. He rules all the nations. There is only one sovereign in this world, and it is our God. So world leaders may boast. They might think of themselves as being powerful. They might think of themselves more highly than they ought. And sometimes it's hard to watch. And as we see injustices taking place, it is painful. And at times, the trajectory that we see of human greed and selfishness is really tough and demoralizing. But I'll put that verse up again. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And verse 23, the one that came after it, said, as we continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held in the gospel. This is the gospel that is preached to all creation. That's the invitation that is ours. God is at work. It is unseen in the main, but it is he is reconciling the world to himself, and he's inviting you to have a part in it. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are supremely at work in this world. Thank you that you are doing a work that is extraordinary, that is bringing peace. And that work includes us, to whom you've given that ministry of reconciliation, those that he has called and redeemed. Father God, forgive us when we think with limited worldly understanding, visually, practically, in an earthly way. Give us redeemed, restored, faith-filled imagination and trust that you are supremely at work. Open our eyes to see that you have a bigger purpose and you are doing remarkable things through your people in this world. Lord, help us to walk tall in victory, in confidence, and so share that victory of Christ with those around us as we seek to be a blessing and point to Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.